You are with Cape Talk, and it is the festive season, and these festive season, or times like these, and these wonderful times, one hopes to be with family, one hopes to be sitting and having a wonderful time wherever it is that they are. But I want to read you an extract from a piece that I saw earlier on that just caught my attention, and Dr. Craig Mills is waiting to have a conversation with you, but bear with me. I write this from Ukraine, where I'm accompanying Archbishop Thabo Makgoba on a pastoral visit. This is my sixth trip to this war-torn yet inspirational country this year, a people whose plight and fighting spirit reminds not only of the indivisibility of humanity, but also of the imperative to look out for each other. It teaches also of the need to reach into our conscience and find our voices if we are to give otherwise vague concepts of human rights and constitutionalism meaning beyond easy words, abstract commitments, worthy chapters, earnest global bodies, and endless international summits. Dr. Craig Mills, good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon to you.
Doctor, you've accompanied the Archbishop and you've seen things. Maybe from your perspective, you could give us a brief idea of some of the things you've seen and your journey thus far.
Well, we've just got back to Poland yesterday afternoon, and the Archbishop, I'm pleased to say, is now back in Cape Town. I'm still in Poland. But it was a very, as ever, informative trip. I mean, I think that the war, of course, is into another phase, and that's a phase of long slog. It's a phase of terrible winter, of course, and it's a phase that involves the Russians no longer really targeting principally the Ukrainian army on the battlefield, but targeting the Ukrainian civilian population in the cities by knocking out their electricity infrastructure in the main. So it's very tough times. It's dark times, literally and metaphorically, in Ukraine. And it's that moment of the war, of course, where international solidarity is required more than ever, both in terms of the support directly to the Ukrainians, but also, as I wrote, you know, reaching into our consciences and supporting the Ukrainians morally and ethically.
And I think one of the things I got from your piece that you penned down was the fact that, yes, it's all good and well to use words, but at some point there would have to be some action taken, whether by individuals or by organizations themselves.
Well, I mean, you know, we are in a world today, without being too unkind, which suffers from a sort of global ADD, where, you know, particularly in Europe, to a lesser extent the United States, the sort of attention span on international developments is really determined both by the attention span of populations, the attention span particularly of politicians. And, you know, what we learned from Afghanistan is that this is very seldom longer than, you know, a decade, maybe two decades at most, and then that goodwill evaporates. And I think the faster the world becomes in terms of the sort of movement of concerns and the topicality of concerns, it's very important to remain focused on these conflicts, because the consequences of not doing so, and that's really the purpose of our trip this time around, the consequences of not doing so is that there's real dangers that the type of rule that the Russians promote then becomes reality, not just for Ukraine, but for other countries, and principally those in Africa, which sit sometimes wobbling on the cusp between authoritarianism and democracy.
One of the things I like reading about here was that line of the fighting spirit of the Ukrainian people. Most certainly, I'm sure you experienced quite a lot of that.
Well, you know, I think you have to experience it to believe it. I mean, the Ukrainians have to be among the most stoic people I've ever met. You know, it's not just the Vitali Klitschko's, who we were fortunate enough to meet, in my case, for the second time, who's an extraordinary human being in more ways than one, but it's also the average Ukrainian. The two women that we met putting up pictures of their loved ones on the wall of remembrance at St. Michael's Monastery in Kiev, which has more than 4,000 faces plastered on it of young men, mostly, who have died since the 24th of February, since the Russian invasion, and who were there in floods of tears. And the Archbishop held their hands and said the Lord's Prayer with them. I mean, it was an extraordinary moment and one of great courage on their part to even make such a simple act. But you see this every day in terms of the way in which the Ukrainians go about their business and go about their lives and press on regardless.
If you've just joined in on the conversation, it is 14 minutes after 5. There's a little croak in my voice. We're chatting to Dr. Greg Mills, director at the Bernthurst Foundation, talking to you from Poland just after a journey to Ukraine, whereby he accompanied Archbishop Thabo Makgoba to Kyiv. He's been kind enough to join us this afternoon to discuss the trip as well as to share some insights, if willing, on the recent news that the Taliban government has issued a statement suspending all women from attending university. The highest level of university most Afghan girls will be able to attain now is grade 6. That's their final year of primary school. Dr. Greg, it feels like, you know, listening to you, it feels like we're living in a different world here in South Africa, because there's so many horrors in other parts of the world out there. And I thought maybe let me make it personal and bring it to you. How do you deal with this after seeing all of this, after hearing all of these things and experiencing these situations? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, obviously, you try not to internalize these things too much, because I think they would wear you down. I mean, the trip in itself is grueling enough because it's a very long drive to Kiev, and particularly this time. And I was amazed at the Archbishop's fortitude, very uncomplaining man, when we spent two whole nights in a minivan from the Polish border to Kiev, there and back. So, you know, it really does wear you out. But then you I do think you become invigorated by what you hear. I mean, we were in the mayor's office in Lviv, Andrei Sadulvi is his name. And just as we sat down, the air raid sirens went off for the umpteenth time, signaling a Russian drone or missile attack. And he said, don't worry, we have 70 minutes if the missiles are fired from Belarusia, 30 minutes if they're fired from the Black Sea. Would you like tea or coffee? And people have learned to go about their business and, as I say, keep pressing on, because the consequences of not doing so, the consequences for all of us of not doing so, are massive. This would be a very changed world if Russia was to win. It would be a changed world in terms of the recognition of individual and human rights. It would be a changed world in terms of authoritarianism stealing a march over those who prefer democracy as the system. And I think in Africa, and I would imagine this is one of the reasons why the Archbishop was keen to go, in Africa, we face this extraordinary contradiction between the number of Africans who prefer democracy as a system under which to live, which is routinely polled at about 70 to 75%, and the number of Africans who live in authoritarian regimes of different shades, and that number is over 90%. So Africans are actually living in circumstances that they would prefer not to be. And this perhaps explains why, in a poll that we did recently, and it was the first of its type done on Ukraine, 75% of South Africans said that we should support Ukraine over Russia. And 80% of South Africans said that we should offer any country that is invaded by another either moral, diplomatic, or military support. So it seems like our governments across the continent, and particularly in South Africa, because that's the one we polled, are actually out of sync with their civilian populations and the public sentiment. People prefer to live in systems and situations where their rights are respected and that they have the opportunity to change government if that's what they choose to do. And that's really what the war in Ukraine, at least for me, from an African vantage, is all about.
Doc, just very quickly, I have run out of time, but maybe your thoughts on the fact that the Taliban have banned women from university in Afghanistan. We all had hoped that it wouldn't get here, but here we are.
Well, as somebody who was in Afghanistan much of the first half of last year and who did four five assignments with the military through from 2006 to 2012, I can tell you that you were hoping against hope, because this is precisely what they said they were going to do, and this is precisely what they've done. But I think more importantly, Afghanistan teaches us that if that things on the one side of the world affect things on the other, that we do live in an interdependent world. And I think the loss of Western credibility as a consequence of the pullout and the shambolic way in which it was undertaken from Afghanistan basically gave the Russians the signal that the West didn't care anymore. Now, that was incorrect, of course, as we now know, but actions do have consequences, and so does inaction have consequences. So we should guard against not protecting rights everywhere, lest they not be protected in our backyard.
And Doctor, as I let you go, there's many of our Cape Talk listeners listening to you right now. What would be your parting words to them?
Well, I think the parting words are that this is a fight beyond just Ukraine and Russia. This is a fight of authoritarianism versus democracy, of rights over sort of big man rule. And it's one that affects us all. So we should be concerned about it. And I think we should also take a degree of solace in the fighting spirit of Ukrainians against the odds. It's something that's quite inspirational and something that we shouldn't allow our attention to be deflected from.
Doctor, thank you so very much for joining us on the show. Dr. Greg Mills, director at Brandthirst Foundation, talking to us about his recent trip to Kyiv, accompanying Archbishop Thabo Makgoba, saying that people do what they need to do to survive, and there's just a fighting spirit out there, and that the world needs to wake up and do something.